Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Who knows how much time is left? I'm going to preach this morning, but what I'm going to get to in James and maybe in Peter as well, and also in Thessalonians, is why Jesus hasn't come yet. And that's just going to be the final truth. But I'm just going to kind of build towards that this morning. And we don't know how much time we have left, but I do want you to know this. The Bible is full of the second coming of Christ. Hey, I want to be known for three things. I desire, as the under-shepherd here, and these men I know feel the same, to be known, have Fundamental Baptist Church and this ministry known for three things. Should I die before the rapture? Somehow I want this on the tombstone. I don't know how it could happen, but I want to be known for these three things. Simply, number one, the gospel, evangelism. I want to be known as someone and have this church known as a ministry where people can come that don't know where they're going to spend eternity and all of life is a mess, and they can hear about Jesus Christ and be born into the family of God. I want people to be able to walk the aisles here all the time, and they do. And people come to Christ, and some of you have been saved just in the last few weeks, and God bless you for sticking up, for staying with us, and we're praying that God will greatly use you, and there'll be growth. And if it can happen in the Eastern Upper Peninsula, in the rural county of Chippewa County, with just 38,000 people in the whole county, if it can happen here, it can happen all over America and all over the world. I want to be known for evangelism. I'm all right with that. Run those colors right to the top of the flagpole. I'm okay to be known for evangelism. I'm good with that. That's a badge of honor. Amen. Number two, I want to be known for preaching the whole counsel of God. I want to be a Bible preacher, a Bible thumper. I'm not interested in music dictating my doctrine. I'm not interested in the culture taking over in my lifestyle. I want to be someone that preaches the whole Word of God with the right spirit, with the right motivation, And have people grow in grace. And by the way, and I know this and you know this, you come to church all our services, you're growing in grace. You're a whole lot further than you were a year ago and even a few weeks ago. I want to be known for that. Number two, the whole counsel of God. Number three, I want to be known as the preacher and the ministry that tells everybody that Jesus is coming back. It's a major doctrine. 23 of the 27 New Testament books tell us of the second coming of Jesus Christ. One in every 25 verses in the whole New Testament teaches the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is a major doctrine. Jesus to the rescue in these very last days. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I don't want to reread something I've already read, but it is the Word of God, and we need to hear it this morning. It isn't like something I thought up and wrote, or some author of some book thought up and wrote. This is what God says. Listen to what God says. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant. We're going to read over in Peter in a moment. There are a lot of people willfully ignorant. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I don't want to know about Jesus coming again. That's the last thing I want to hear right now. I got big plans. Man, I got things I want to do. I got money I want to make. Don't tell me. It says here in verse 13, Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. You need to understand this concerning them which are asleep, those that have died, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral of an unsaved person with a man standing up and not preaching the gospel and just kind of talking, giving a little book report. There is nothing more sad, nothing more empty. Said, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have hope. We have Christ. There doesn't need to be any kind of sorrow like that. Sorrow that cannot be comforted. I've been to some funerals. I remember going to a funeral even as a young man, as a teenage boy, and the weeping and the wailing, man, it just sent shivers up and down my spine. They'd lost a loved one, and they had no way to cope with it. And the preacher didn't give them any way to cope with it. Everybody's playing religious games. I don't mean everybody, but you look around and it's a game. It's a popularity contest. It's a money-making scheme. God deliver us from having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the gospel, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, they were saved, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede, that's what that old English word means, them which are asleep. So he's saying, hey, something's going to happen at the second coming of Christ, at the rapture. The trumpet of God's going to sound, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, this is what he's addressing here, loved ones that have already died in Christ. They were born again, and then they put them in the grave. They died. They lived their life. Perhaps it was an accident. Perhaps it was old age. He said, don't sorrow as others that have no hope. We're going to see them again. Rapture. Great day. Great and grand reunion day. Can you imagine the joy? The laughter. The hugging. Yes, the hugging. Even up there. You know. The hugging. The storytelling. The great reunion day that is going to be. Think of all the loved ones that we have buried right here at a Fundamental Baptist Church. Man, they'll be there waiting for us. What a great day that rapture is going to be. A great day of reunion. We don't sorrow as others that have no hope. The grave has no sting, not for the child of God. Let's go on here. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's going to be an order. The dead in Christ first. We which are alive and remain right after them. Corinthians tells us in the twinkling of an eye, that's Edison Electric used to say that's 11/100ths of a second. That's fast. So in other words, the graves are open, bang, they're raptured, bang, we're right after them. It's going to happen that quick. It's going to be like, man, you blinked and here we are, you know, on our way up to meet the Lord in the air. Hey, listen, our Savior, Shepherd, our friend, our confidant, our advocate, our mediator, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, will meet him in the clouds. Man, everything's going to be right that day. Let's read on, next verse. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, that's the word raptus there, shall be caught up to meet together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So he said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. Don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. There's a great day coming, the rapture of the church. I am a premillennialist. That means I believe that the church is going to be raptured before the millennial kingdom. I am a pre-tribulationist. I believe the Bible teaches. I know the Bible teaches. I've read it. That we will be raptured from this earth before the tribulation. You can get away from God and dream about mid-trib and being a survivalist and all that other stuff. Forget it, man. All those beans on the shelf are going to they're going to rot. Because if you're saved, you're being taken out of this world. We're delivered from the wrath to come. I'm a premillennialist, pre-tribulationist, and I believe in the imminent return of Christ. Paul was looking for Christ's return in his day. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And God, give me a sermon because I've totally left my outline 100%. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, eschatos, it's the word we get eschatology from, last, the final events. In the last days, perilous or troublesome or dangerous times shall come. Theologically, we have been in the last days ever since Jesus died on the cross. These are the last days that are spoken of so much in the New Testament. Paul was looking for Jesus in his day. He was expecting Christ to return at any moment. He said, we are looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said that in the book of Titus. Go back here to 2 Timothy again. Oh, I turned back already. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me get to it as quick as I can. For men should be lovers of self, of their own selves, covetous. These are 19 traits of apostasy. And this is prevalent all over America and all over the world. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, lovers of silver, in other words, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means undisciplined, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady or rash, high-minded, arrogant. No preacher's going to tell me how to live. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Plain religion. I exhort you and encourage you to come to the adult Sunday school class next Sunday morning. We're in the book of James. We're going to talk about those that are plain religion. It's everywhere. And it's not new. It's always been going on. Janus and Jambres. It's always been going on. It's just the way of man. We take God's good things and we taint them and we make them our things. And then we throw some titles on it and we think we're being biblical. And we haven't studied the Bible for what it really says and who knows how long. Our whole culture is getting that way. Go back again now to James in chapter 5. Hey, I told you I left my outline. I don't know what I'm doing. Hold your finger there in James chapter 5. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter first. 2 Peter in chapter 5. That's got to be chapter 3. Yes, it is. When I'm relying on my memory up here, it's not a good thing, right? 2 Peter chapter 3, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. He says, now remember this. This is what the prophets preached. That's what the apostles preached. Here it is. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. It's always about the flesh. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Now put this all together. They're saying, what do you mean Jesus is coming again? Man, I'm 62 years old. And I've been hearing that all my life. And like 62 years is a long time. Now, it might be for you in your life, but not for God. He said he was coming. It would be an imminent return. It would be in the last days. But as we get closer and closer to the imminent return of Christ, to the time the trumpet is going to sound, it has become so blatantly obvious. Everything's set up in the Middle East. Everything's set up in the Far East with the kings of the earth. Everybody rattling sabers right now. Man, we are right there. We are at the precipice. Jesus is coming. But there are scoffers. They say, well, things are going on like they always did. And verse 5 says, this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world then was. In other words, everything happened by God's command. Verse 8, skip down there. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So the cross just happened in light of eternity just 2 days ago, 2,000 years ago. Resurrection, just 2 days ago. It's that simple. Brethren that we have buried in the last couple of years, just a tick. That's all it is. Just a drop in the bucket. Jesus is coming again, and he's coming very soon. That's why James said, behold, the judge standeth at the door. Quit playing games with God. The judge standeth at the door. Now let's go back to James again and chapter 5. Just a couple of things I want to share with you here, and I'll start to wrap this up because I'm almost out of radio time here this morning. Don't lose hope. Don't think for a moment, well, I don't know if Jesus is ever going to come again. Listen, he's coming, and he's coming soon. At the sound of the trumpet, you're not going to look over at your pastor and say, boy, I wish you'd have warned me. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back very, very soon. It says here in James in chapter 5, verse 7, be patient. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, that's Jesus, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Souls are precious. If Christians could see the value of a soul in contrast to the shortness of life, you would use all, and I would use all of our energy to win precious souls to Christ. We are here this long. That's it, man. That long, and that's it, and we're gone. So now it's time to be a soldier of the cross. Time to get serious about serving God. Jesus is waiting. Look what it says here in verse 7. For the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. In the Middle East, they would have an early rain and a latter rain. It would create another harvest. That meant the fields are white unto harvest. We are there. We just got through finishing up the statewide revival. I got all kinds of, man, I've been getting texts and even got two pieces of hard mail, believe that or not, believe that. You know, I mean, some of those preachers are old. And just from notes from all over thanking God for the statewide revival conference. One man told me after last Sunday morning, they were in their home churches on Sunday mornings. I never heard my pastor. I'm telling you, that's the best message he ever preached in his life. I mean, I'm hearing sounds of revival from every direction. I don't know if you have read or heard about the Korean revival. I don't know if you have read, and I would encourage you to look it up. The Chinese revival, the revival that's going on right now in Russia. Greg Cromie's dad, Pastor Cromie, in the middle of July, he's headed to Papua New Guinea. The Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea has asked for 3 million Bibles to put in the hands of every student in this backwards country, in this unchurched, America being the Christian nation, right? And in this backwards country, the Prime Minister has asked for Baptist preachers to unload in Papua New Guinea. And already almost 1 million have been given out. Now, I'll go a step further than that. They're asking for preachers to come and missionaries to come and teach in every single public school in the nation. 1 hour a day. That's pretty exciting. You tell me, God isn't interested in the souls of the people of this planet. You see, this is the latter rain. This is the end time harvest. We have opportunity to be involved. We have opportunity to win. That's why we're seeing so many people saved right now. That's why people are coming to Christ from all directions. We got people leading people to Jesus that have become soul winners that never led anybody to Christ before in their lives. And they're just now finding out how good it is. We don't have much time. Jesus is coming soon. That imminent return, set your feet on the rock, roll up your sleeves, steady your heart, and start serving God. When the trumpet sounds, let's be found faithful. Quit playing games with God. Let me be real basic for just a moment. If you're here and you're not born again, you need Jesus, or you will be left behind. When the trumpet sounds, you won't be raptured off of this earth. And this earth ain't any place you want to be during the tribulation. Number one, you need to get born again. Say, Pastor, I am born again. If not, you can take care of it this morning during the altar call. Say, Pastor, I am born again. Well, what else do I need to do? Number two, get baptized. That's the first step of obedience. You identify with Christ. It's not a second work of grace. It doesn't add to your salvation. But you get baptized, you're saying, I'm with Jesus. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm with Jesus. Number three, you read your Bible. Number four, you become a prayer warrior. Start asking God for things. Some of you don't even know God can answer prayer. You've never been right with God where you've had a prayer life. Number five, tithe. Man, that's part of your worship. Do more than tithe. Give your all, give everything you can for the cause of Christ. We've taken on three missionaries already this year. Three more missionaries. There's two more I have on site right now. That the last guy that came through that's going over to Great Britain, man, we got to get behind him. I'm excited about what he's going to do. Get involved. You say, how can we take on more missionaries? Get involved in Faith Promise. You know, put your money where your mouth is. All right, I am preaching on money. Because God's people that are right with God are going to be faithful and bring the tithe into the storehouse. Pure and simple. Be a soul winner. Get involved. I know you know people that aren't saved. You rub shoulders with them. Have you told them about Christ? Have you told them about your best friend? Have you told them about the one that's the rock in your life that you can run to and he's always there? Have you shared with them Jesus and that he saves? Not a lot of time left. If God were to tarry another 20 years, I don't have 20 years. I'm 60 years old. If it's God's will that he comes now, it's kind of appropriate that it's been raining all during this message and I'm kind of preaching on the latter rain. I know we've gotten a lot of rain this year here in the Upper Peninsula. Not as much as they got down south, though. Thank the Lord for that. But isn't that calming? It's refreshing. Everything is so green. How about the soul harvest? How about getting out in the fields that are white unto harvest and bringing people to Christ? This wasn't a fancy message this morning. I got one tonight on the high priest of Christ. But I believe God spoke in the hearts.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.